Okay. So we're starting from starting from 23 and we're gonna go to the end. Starting with the first question. So the question was, can you acquire the karka through the Achilas Peros? So we brought a machlokas, the Rambam and the Raibid. The Rambam said that if the karka, this quoting the Rambam said that if the karka is raki, then he said that how are you gonna be kona the karka? So you can't be doing Achilas Peros. The Rambam said that if you use the karka, if you're drying peros on it, or your behemas are there, that's going to be good enough. So we said that seemingly what the Rambam is doing is he's connecting cheskas raya to cheskas kinyan. He's saying that even though these things like it's a raya, right? It's a proof that you're drying your peros, your behemas are on there. But he used the lashon of kona that these things, these rayas are actually kona, and they're the same thing. So obviously, if you can acquire a karka through peros and through having your behemoths on the land, then obviously you can acquire through achilas peros as well. So that was the shita of the Rambam. So the next part of the question, what does the Raibid say? The Raibid says that cheses kinyan isn't the same thing as cheses raya. They're two different things. Cheses kinyan isn't about achilas peros, but we know there are three ways to do it. It's not through a raya, but it's through Nal, Gadar, and Paratz from the Mishnah Membez. So how can you say that you know Achilas Peros is going to acquire the karka? You know, the only these three things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, those things are what allows you to acquire karka, to be kona karka. So Eze Raya Hevia Magid Mishnah Vidasa Rambam Bedivra Gemara Chaf Tadam Mebez Bedivra Gemara Kuf Amud Aleph. So the Magid Mishnah brought two different rayas to the shita of the what's it called? Of the Rambam, as to how we could say that even a cheskas raya works is the same thing as a cheskas kinyan. So on the Gemara of Baba Basra, Chavtadam Abayz, Rav Huna says that if the whole field is a sunma, then you can use the whole field by having behemas there and drying the peros, and that would work to be a chazaka. So seemingly over here, and to acquire the karka. Similarly over here, I mean, Mistama, that's what the Rambam was referring to. He was referring to our Gemara of Rav Huna, but we're seeing it over here. You could acquire sunma. You could acquire a rocky property by having the behemas or drying there, and that would acquire the karka. Another raya we brought some Baba Basra, Kuf Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Lazar and Rabbanan argued about whether walking on the property, whether Hiluk is going to be kona karka. However, they said Hiluk for sure works if the karka has a path, right? If you can be kona that path in the middle. We said that by using the path, it helps to acquire. But by using the path, you can actually acquire the path. It's all about the usage. So we said that Achilas Peros can work to be kona the field as well. If Hiluk is ishtamshus, right? You're using the path. And this should be no, this should be no different. If you're using a path that acquires the path, when you're using the property, i.e., doing achilas peros, that should acquire the property as well. If walking on a field is kona and drying animals by sunma is the highest usage as well, then by doing achilas peros, you're using the field. It's the hishtamshus of the field. So therefore, if you can acquire through the usage, and so too by our case of achilas peros, the usage of eating the peros, that should acquire the field as well, and that'd be a good raya to the Rambam why achilas peros works in kona karka. Okay, so it's a very good raya. So how will the Raibid respond to this last raya? So we said that maybe the Raibid holds that hilach was totally different. But by hilach, you're trying to acquire the right to use the field. You're being kona the zechus hishtamshus, the zechus of using the field, and the way to acquire the zechus of hishtamshus is by starting to use it. In order to acquire the usage is by starting to use it. However, to be kona karka, right? You're not being kona the usage. You want to acquire the field itself, not just the usage. So to be kona, you need the big three. You need to have you know Nal, Gadar, and Paratz, and that's how you acquire the physical field, the karka itself. But when it comes to acquiring the usage of something, then of course you, of course, doing that usage would acquire the field. By hiluch, if it's all about the acquiring the zechus hishamshus, then that's why it would work by path. But by karka, we don't want to acquire the zechus hishamshus. We want to acquire the karka itself. So that's how the rabbi would respond to this raya. Now what? Now. Now the next part, the last, the next part of the question. can owe Dugmali Sozeh. So what would be another proof to the Ravid who says that it's all about that within Mechira we only say that Dafka these three things work? So we brought a proof from Pesachim Dalet Amud Aleph that the question was the Chiyuv of Bedika is Leil Yadalet, right? The Chiyuv of Bedika occurs the 14th. So the question we asked was at what, if someone's renting out their house to if the masker is renting it out to a socher, at what point does the chi of bedika fall on the masker? At what point does it fall on the socher? Right? At what point does the renter have the obligation? What was one person, and when does the obligation shift? So what we mentioned is that it really depends on, the Gemara says that it depends on when the key is given over. So if the masker gives the keys to the socher before Yadalid, then the socher is now obligated to Bedika. However, if the maskir holds on to the keys and then gives it to him later, after Yadalid, then he's going to be chayv in the Bedika. Seemingly, it's all a function of when the key is handed over. So we quoted the Shita Rashi, who says, what's this Masiris Mafteach? Why is this the key? What does this accomplish? So his Masiris Mafteachos is a critical moment because it's the Kinyan Sechiris, right? At this moment, when the Maskir hands the key over to the Socher at that moment is acquiring the rent. He has now become the owner. So therefore, if you wait too late, then you miss the window of Bedika, and that would be the issue over there. However, Tosfos argues on the Shitas Rashi. He says, how does that make any sense? How can Mesiras and Avteach be Kone? You know that in Bava Kamma, Karka is acquired by Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. It can only be acquired in those three things. And Mesiras and Avteach doesn't fit in any of those three categories. It's not Kesef, it's not Shtar, it's not Chazaka. So what's Rashi talking about? How can you say that the Mesiras and Avteach is going to work? Seemingly that won't be enough. So what's the answer? So what's happening in this case? What is Mesiras Mafteach really doing? If it's not acquiring, it seems like it's a big focus of the Gemara Pesachim. So what's going on over here? So we quoted the Shita of the Ri, the Tosfos quoted the Ri, who says that rather Mesiras Mafteach is critical because it gives you the potential to be bodek, right? That without this key, you can't open the door anyways. So it's more like a technical point that only once when you have the key, then you can open the door and do the bedika. But without the key, you can't open the door and do the bedika. So Tosfos had a very good rejection to Rashi, right? He really gave a much better answer as to what's happening in the Sugya of Pesachim. So the question was, what's going on behind Shita's Rashi, and how can we understand this? So we wanted to. So the Korban Nisanel gives a very good, nice pshat in Rashi, which we said after this pshat we could apply this idea to our sugya by the Ravid as well. He said maybe that Rashi is saying that dafka by bedikas chametz, by the sfiras karka, that's when there's going to be a kinyan of mesiras maftechos, right? That handing over the keys is a valid form of acquiring something, is a valid form of a kinyan, but dafka by what? What's the case that we're talking about in Pesachim? Talking about the case of Sfira, of renting something out. So therefore, Mesiras Mafteachos would work by Sfira, i.e. using it, right? I'm giving you the potential to use this house, to do the Bedika. So therefore, we said that usage works to be a formal way of acquiring something, dafka by Sfira. However, when it comes to Mechira, when it comes to actually purchasing something, that usage is not going to be enough. The Mesiras Mafteachos is not going to work for a Mechira. It would only work for a Sfira. And now, using this shot of this difference between renting and buying, whether usage works or doesn't work, we can now fit this very well into the Ravid. Because where is the Ravid talking about? The Rambam and the Ravid, in what area of Halacha were they arguing about? They were in Hilchos Mechira, about buying stuff. So when it comes to buying stuff, the Ravid is going to say, yeah, you can only buy things by three different ways. But when it comes to Sfira, that's when usage is going to make sense. But when it comes to Mechira, the usage of the Hishamshus is not going to work. So that was all that question. Moving on to 24. So Matai Efshar Leknos Karka Adei Achilas Peros Afal Das Rambam. So in what situation? I mean, according to the Rambam, we just explained very clearly that the Rambam is always going to say that Achilas Peros is going to work to acquire Karka. So the question was, when would the Rambam say that Achilas Peros is not going to work to acquire Karka? So we quoted the Rambam Hilchos Zechiyah Matana. He said that by Nichsei Ger, you can be acquired with the big three. The next Eger can be acquired with Nal Gadar Paratz, but not with Achilas Peros. Achilas Peros is not going to work. Is not going to work by Nefse Ger. With regular Karka, Achilas Peros works across the board, but not by Hefker and not by Nefse Ger. So we're trying to figure out, okay, so what's behind the Rambam? Why does he Lama Lo? That's the next part of the question. Why does the Rambam say that by Nefse Ger you can't acquire through Achilas Peros? So to understand the Rambam, we brought in the Shita of Tosfos. Yeah. One second. Okay, so we said that according to Tosfos was dealing with this idea of how to understand what does Naal mean when you're locking the door. Does that mean you have to physically lock the door? So we brought a machlokas earlier that there's a machlokas. We said that Naal is you close the door a little bit. Is that how it works? Tosfos says no. When Naal means it means to physically lock the door. So what is this Ne'ilah accomplishing when you're locking the door? How does that acquire? What is that doing? So Tosfos explained that when we say Naal Gadal and Paratz, the key isn't the Maisa that you're doing. The key isn't that you're locking the door, that you're breaking, that you're creating an opening. Rather, it's all about it's all about what these actions are showing. It's about demonstrating bilis. When you lock the door, you're showing to the whole entire world, this house belongs to me. And it's all about demonstrating bilis. Therefore, the Rambam now makes a lot of sense. When it comes to demonstrating bilis, you can demonstrate bilis by regular karka. By eating this achilas peros, I'm demonstrating that this property belongs to me. And that makes a lot of sense. However, when it comes to nechse ger, there's no one to demonstrate the bilis to. There is no form. If this land is hefker, who are you demonstrating the bilis to? There's no one there to show it to. When it comes to nechse ger, they don't have any descendants who the karka is going to go to. So who are you demonstrating to? So it's all about demonstrating your bilis. So the next part of the question: Kezad kinyan chazaka bekarka poladas Rambam. So the Rambam would say it's all a function of how does kinyan chazaka work when it comes to karka? How does that make sense? According to the Rambam, it's all a function of demonstrating your bilis, and by doing achilas peros, you're demonstrating your bilis, showing how this thing belongs to me. However, that's not going to exist by nechse ger. So what were the four rayas to this? So I think some of the chavrei got a little confused in this question about what exactly are the four rayas. So we'll do the first, we'll do three and four because they're a little easier, and then we'll move into the last two, which I think you had to add from other stuff. So just easily, the raya to the Sisodas is the Tosfos we already brought. The Tosfos said how by Naal means by Naal, the point of Naal when you're locking the door is that you're demonstrating your bilis. And that was the Tosfos that I just quoted that we had been dealing with earlier. And then the fourth raya, is what we also mentioned, the raya from the Rambam. The Rambam says that nechse ger, achilas peros does not work, and by regular karka, achilas peros is going to work. So as we explained in the Rambam, why does he make this chiluk? Because by karka, you're demonstrating the bilis, therefore achilas peros is going to work. By nechse ger, there's no one to demonstrate the bilis too, therefore it's not going to work. And those are the two easy rayas that we had already they're already given to us in the sugya. But the question was, what are the next two rayas? So we mentioned first there's a Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph. How do you acquire an Eved? He said you have to use the Eved the way the Adon used the Eved. However, he used the Eved. That's how you acquire the Eved by using the Eved the same way. So the Kesef Mishnah on this Rambam says that you need a maisa that's miyuchad to avdus. You do an action that's specific to this avdus. So by eved, you can only acquire with the hishtamshus of the avdus. It's not about doing a maisa that you sign a shtar or something that acquires the eved or it's no. It's about that you have to demonstrate that this eved belongs to you. You have to show ownership. You're demonstrating that this eved belongs to me. And the only way to show that this Eved belongs to me is by having him do actions that an Eved would do for you. So therefore, this is another example of the Rambam, which he talks about saying how it's all about demonstrating bilis. And then our second example was, this is the Rambam Hilchos Mechira. I forgot to quote where it is, where it's from. I think it's, whatever, Paragal, yeah, okay. So he says that by Peros, second.
giving them basket.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the case about the marikama, who's providing that when you're giving peros to the masik, and the marikama is providing the fruit, giving over the basket, right? He's helping him with the fruit. Why does that work? Why is that a valid form of chazakah? Because this is a hochacha. The peros belong to the masik because the marikama is demonstrating this doesn't belong to me anymore. I'm handing it over to you. It's not about doing a maisa. I mean, he is doing a maisa by helping him with the peros and handing him over the basket of fruit. But it's really that he's demonstrating that I'm not the owner. You're the owner. It's all about demonstrating bialus. Moving on to question 25. So ana v'shpune gavai have ma peros taina zu l'fi rashban. So we said that this is in the Gemara we were talking about that someone. Is sitting on a property, and someone else walks over and says, "Hey, that's my property." And says, "No, but you weren't here. You never made a machad." He says, "No, ana b'shchuna gavai habe. I was in this other shchuna." So what is that talking about? So what is this? What is the taina that he's making? So first we'll do the shita of the Rashi. The Rashi said, "Shchuna gavai. What's this taina? What's this claim? The claims of the marikama claims that I was in the inner chambers." I had access to your area in the chitzon, right? Meaning we were in this property together. I was in the inner area, you were in the outer area. You were living on the outside but you only live on the outside because it was my rishus. I said you're allowed to live here. You have no chazaka. I wasn't mocha because you were here on my dime. You were here because I was allowing you to live here. This area doesn't really belong to you. It belongs to me. So that's what the claim of Shulei Gavai is according to the Rashbam. So ma sarach amarikama la sos yachad in tainas Shulei Gavai have hilvad l'chazkas amasik l'das haRashbam haRamban v'Rabbeinu Meir. So the question was, what does the marikama have to do in addition to this claim of Shulei Gavai in order to knock out the chazkas masik? Right, because the masik is squatting on this property. So what do you have to do in addition to this taina in order to knock out the chazaka and have the marikama fully acquire this property? So we said that was the Rashi say. As we had quoted earlier, the Rashi says that the marikama has two claims. One is that there was an access path from my property to your property, and then I use the chitzon with you. I was using this property with you. And similarly, that's not, it's in addition to making this claim of Shchuna Gavai, but the whole chap is that he's making these two claims: that one, there was an access path, and you need an access path, and B, that I was in the chitzon with you. You need those two aspects in addition to the taina. The Ramban has a completely different shot than the Rashbam. He says we're not talking about inner chambers and outer chambers. He says rather the taina was that I was far away. A very easy, and that taina that I was far away is going to knock out the cheskas of the machzik. The question that we were trying to deal with in Seder during Chazara was that okay, but the Ramban isn't saying in addition to the taina, what do you have to do? He's saying the taina itself is going to knock out the machzik. So maybe this would be an exception to the question, because the Ramban really isn't saying that you have to do a taina and then do something else. I mean, the Rashi was saying you need the taina, but you also need step one, the access path, and step two, to the chiton that was with you at the same time. But the Ramban is only saying that the taina is totally different. The taina was that I was far away. Okay, but that's the Ramban. What does Rabbeinu Meir say? Rabbeinu Meir says that Mari Kama's claim was that whenever I was with you in that area, you would move out of my way. It's not just that I'm making the taina that b'shchuna gavai, but that you are nidcha to me. That whenever I would walk in, you would walk the other way, and showing how I was the real owner. You need that in addition to the taina, and that's Rabbeinu Meir. Moving on to question 26. So v'ma nechlekur Rav Nachman Rava gabi shchuna gavai ima machlek levar or marikama levar v'das ha'ika man deparish berif v'das harashban. So we brought a machlokes, Rav Nachman and Rava. So what did Rav Nachman say? Rav Nachman says it's on the machzek to be mevarer what happened. Right? Meaning the side of proof is on the marikama, and we're saying that the machzek is the one who has to clarify, he has to explain why he has a good chazaka. Whereas according to Rava, he says, no, it's on the marikama to be mevarer. We say that the chazaka of the machzek is a good chazaka, and the marikama has to explain, okay, this is actually, explain why it's his property. Okay. So that was the machlokas from Nachman and Rava. So the question was, how does this break down into the Rif and to the Rashbam? So we're going to spend a lot of time, most of the time on the Rif, then we'll go to the Rashbam afterwards, and then Rebbe also on the bottom, if you look, of course, the Rif, the Bach, Rashi, Ksuvis, Tosos, the Rashbam. Seemingly, Rebbe wanted the Rav Nachum also, which wasn't quoted in the bottom. So I'm going to add that in, and then yeah, very good. Okay, so let's start with the Rif, and then we're gonna ask some questions on the Rif, and then we'll get to some good stuff over here. So what is the Rif, how does the Rif understand the Machlokas of Nachman and Rava? So just saying it again. Rav Nachman says on the Machlokas to be Mevarer, meaning that the side of proof is on the Marikam. So we're going to see is that the Machlokas, the Rif, and the Rashbam is that at what point do we say that the Edim play a factor? So according to Rav Nachman, he says, I don't care if there are Edim or no Edim. It doesn't matter. I'm always going to say that it's on the Machlokas to be Mevarer. The Marikama has a better, the side of proof is on him, and the Machlokas is always going to have to be Mevarer. Whereas Rava says, no, if there are Edim, then I can understand why, the Marikama is bringing Edim, that he had owned this property at one point, so I understand why the Machlokas is going to have the side of proof in that situation. But if there are no Edim, if it's my word against your word, and this guy's been on the property, then we're going to say that the Marikama is on the Marikama to bring a Raya that it belongs to him. Okay, so that's the Machlokas of Nachman and Rava, according to the Rif. But what we have to understand is that there are a couple. There's one line in the Rif that doesn't make a lot of sense. So just backing up the Rif had said according to Rav Nachman that if there are that no matter what, according to Rav Nachman, it doesn't matter if it's always going to be on the Machlokas to be Mevarer no matter what. The side of proof is always on the Marikama. But the question we can ask on the Rif's understanding of Rav Nachman, that if it's always going to be on the Marikama, we have this idea, sorry, that's always going to be on the Machlokas, it's always going to be on the Machlokas to be Mevarer, and then that the Marikama has the side of proof, right? That the Marikama is sitting in the driver's seat, is that if we say that we have this idea of Pesha Aser, in a case of no Edim, and in a case of Pesha Aser, we side. I mean, the Machlokas is saying that this property belongs to me. And this is a case of Pesha Aser, and therefore, in a case of Pesha Aser, in the case of no Edim, who do we side with? We side with the Machlok, and it should be on the Marikama that the Mevarer. So according to the Rif's understanding of Rav Nachman, why in the situation when there are no Edim, is it on the Machlok? If this is a case of a Pesha Aser, it should be on the Marikama to have to explain what's going on. So to explain the question of to answer our question of the Rif, we brought a Machlokas, the Mishnah Ksuvis, a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, and then the Bach to bring it all home. So the Mishnah Ksuvis says that if Reuben admits and says, by the way, this field belonged to Shimon's father, he's believed because that's a case of Pesha Aser. Okay, so that's our case of Pesha Aser. So Rashi says that because this guy is volunteering information, he's saying that this field used to belong to your father. We believe him because if he wasn't right, then why would he do this in the first place? I mean, he's volunteering information. That's a case of Pesha. He's putting himself in a bad situation. So obviously, we're going to believe him. He has the emunus. But what's the key part of Rashi? Rashi says, but if the father is Toveya Bakhtim, if the son of the father, right? Or I mean, if Shimon's has a way to power back and is Toveya back at him, he says no, and he has a valid claim as to why the property really was his father's and still belongs to his father. Then the guy then this Pesha Aser is not going to be enough. Pesha Aser only applies if there's no Tfiyah. If there's no Tfiyah, if the other guy isn't making a reverse claim, then the Pesha Aser is going to work. But if there's any pushback, Pesha Aser falls away. Toso says no. That's not how it works. Pesha Aser is very strong. It's so strong that even if there is a Tfiyah, even if there's a force going against the Pesha Aser, Pesha Aser is still going to win out. The only issue is when we have Edim in addition to the Tfiyah. But if there's just a Stam Tfiyah going against the Pesha Aser, Tosfo says the Pesha Aser is always going to win out. So we said that perhaps this Machlokas of it's interesting that this Machlokas Rishonim helps us, plays back into our Machlokas Amorayim. So how does that make sense? So in this case, in our case that we're dealing with over here, in the case of Rav Nachman, there is a Tfiyah, right? There is a Tfiyah in this situation. The Machzik is saying that I've been here on the whole time, and the Marikama is saying no, right? He's saying no, this actually belongs to me. So if you understand it like the Tosfos says. Let's do the Amoraim first. So in this situation, there's a tfiya, right? Because someone's asking a question on the Marikama is attacking the chazaka of the Masik. So Rav Nachman says that when there is a tfiya, there is no pesha aser. Therefore, the Masik must be mevayer. Right, so clearly, what's Rav Nachman assuming? Rav Nachman is siding with Rashi, right? Wait a second. Did I say that clearly? Yeah. Rav Nachman is siding with Rashi. However, now we can understand why that situation. If there are no Eidim, we still say it's on the Masik to be mevayer. We're saying it's on the Masik to be mevayer because pesha aser is not going to work when there's a tfiya, right? Yeah, but Rava says that no. If there is a tfiya, there is still this idea of pesha aser, and therefore, why does he say if there are no eidim, it's on the marikama to be mevayer? On the marikama to be mevayer, because in this situation, the masik does have a good response to the marikama. He has a pesha aser to go back at the marikama. Okay, so that was the Bach, and now we can understand why within the Rif, Rav Nachman says if there are no eidim, it's on the masik to be mevayer because pesha aser has fallen away. Now moving on to the Rashba. The Rashbam had said that within Rav Nachman, that says on the Masik to be mevarer, that's only if there are Eidim. But if there are no Eidim, then it's gonna be on the Marikama to be mevarer. Only if there are Eidim for the Marikama, that's when it's on the Masik. And Rava goes across the board and says, no matter what, if there are Eidim, no Eidim, it doesn't matter. We're always going to say that's on the Marikama, and the Machzik has a side of proof. So how are we understanding what the Rashbam is saying? And this is where we get into Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman developed this idea that there's a stama de milsa that we're going to follow the Machzik, right? You have a train that's heading on this course, right? It's going straight down. That we're going to assume that the Masik was Mosa, and that's going to follow through. However, if there's a suffix, if people are throwing stuff at the train, if someone removes a plank from the train, starts to waver, starts to shake, then that's going to say when maybe we'd say that that's not on the Marikama to Mivarer, it's actually going to be on the Masik to Mivarer. So the question, the whole entire basis of our sugya is whether the taina of the Marikama is enough to create a suffix to knock out the stama de milsa of the chazaka of the machzik. So Rava would say what? Rava would say the Marikama's taina is never going to be strong enough to create a chazaka. Therefore, we're always going to follow the stama de milsa of the machzik. However, Rav Nachman would say his taina is going to be strong enough to create a suffix when there are Eidim. In that situation, when there are Eidim, that's when his taina is going to be strong enough. But when there's no Eidim, his taina is not strong enough to create a suffix, and then we're going to say it's on the Marikama to be Mebarer. So that's Rav Nachman. Very good. Okay, 27. So Mevur B'Gemara Lamed Aleph, Shina Marikama, Toin Shaya B'Shuki Barai, Afim Yadua Shaya Ba L'Makom Amachzik, Kol Shana Lamed Yom L'Shuk. So even though he was only coming back to the city where his house was located, he was only coming back to the Shuk once every 30 days. Mikol Makom Ein Cheskas Hamachzik Mo'elas Peshe Yachla Marikama L'Tovin Shalom Mechiti Peshe Hayati Shaisi Tarad B'Shukin. So in this situation though, even though the machzik is saying that I was in this property the whole entire time, the marikama can say no. The reason I did it, I wasn't mocha because I was so busy in my working in the shuk. So tain bet birushim shaybi rarashim bezes. How do you explain? What does it mean that I was so busy in the shuk? Why does that knock out the chazaka of the machzik? And ezim him adif vilama. So in which are better? So the rashim said that there are two pshatim. The first pshat is that the what marikama had two houses. And whenever he would, or an apartment, or stay at a hotel, whenever he'd come back into the city, when he was tired in the shuk, he wouldn't go back to his house. He would go to the shuk, and then go back to his apartment that was close to the shuk. When he came back, he never went to his house. Therefore, he didn't know Darby Basie. He didn't know someone was living in his house because he never walked back into the door of his house. The Rashi quotes a second opinion that really was that he was so busy. He was working in the shuk like crazy, and therefore he was so busy, he never had an opportunity to be mochet. So he said that over here, which pshat makes more sense. He said that really the Rashbam second pshat is not as good as the first pshat. Because the Torah asks over here, he says, does it really take that long to be mocha? How long does it take? He's saying that he's so busy, he couldn't spare 5 seconds to walk over to two people and say, hey, by the way, I know so-and-so is in my house. Can you do something about it? Can you walk over and say something? Was it that hard to be mocha? Was he that busy that he couldn't spare 5 seconds? So that was the rejection of the Torah to the Rashbam second shot. Okay, so Kesad Yefarshu Tosfos Lamin Chet Inyan Zeh Shuki Havi Tirinna. And then okay, fine. So what did Tosfos say? He said Tosfos was explaining that how do we understand this idea of Chazaka and Mecha. So he says that even if these people are Medina Achas, we always assume that the Chazakah is going to travel back to the Marikama. Because he cares. He's following his property. And he wants to know if someone's sitting in his land. He cares about the Chazakah. But when the Machzik is sitting in the property, he could care less about the Mecha. He's very comfortable in this property. He's sitting there. He's doing his thing. But so the Marikama, he's on edge. He's sensitive to the information about his property. However, the Machzik isn't running around trying to see if there's any Mecha. He wants to say, oh, did anyone make any claims against this property that I'm sitting in? He could care less. He's comfortable instead of sitting in the property. So based on this pshat of Tosfos, Lamed Chet Amud Aleph, we gave one pshat of how we could potentially explain it. But now we're going to plug it back into the Rashbam. So we said that based on this pshat of Tosfos, he cannot. This is before the Ketzos, okay? So based on this first, and then we'll explain how the Ketzos actually says that maybe the Rashbam, how the Ketzos could fit with the first pshat of the Rashbam. But saying it, okay, say I'm going to say it again. The Rashbam's first pshat was that I had two houses, and I never knew that you were in my house. According to Tosfos, the Marikama is always going to know that someone's in his house. He would hear about the Chazakah. He's curious about who's in my property. He knew way back when this guy first walked into the door that someone walked into his house. Tosfos would assume that he knew what was going on. Therefore, Tosfos would have to go like the Rashbam's second pshat. Okay, so is there any way to say that Tosfos could side with the first pshat of the Rashbam? Is there any way to say that? So the Tosfos thinks that Tosfos would actually fit with the first pshat. And how does that make sense? We know that the guy knows everything. He's sensitive. He cares about who's in his property. So the Tosfos says that Tarin means that I knew, but then I forgot. I knew what was happening, but then I forgot what I knew. We have all been in situations when we're so busy on something that we can know certain things. But you get so busy, so tired and in action, that they totally forgot what had happened previously. So therefore, in this situation, this guy might be so tired that he actually Taka did forget what happened. And therefore he could have a valid claim to knock out the Chazakah, the Machzik, that I didn't actually know. Okay, moving on to the last question. And then we're going to call it. Okay, so Ma'adini Marikama Hayayachal Lamachos Bebet Shanim Harishonim Lo Micha Roshan Shlishis Nenes Lo Hayayachal Lamachos. So what's the case? The case where the Marikama had the ability to be mocha in the first 2 years, but then he didn't, he wasn't mocha, but then he came the third year, the last year of the Chazakah, and he wanted to be mocha, but he couldn't. He was Nenes, something happened, an emergency, he had to leave town. That situation. So, chazaka havi chazaka alo. Do we say the chazaka actually works over here? So, what does the Ran say? The Chidush Ran says that if he was at the shuk at the very end, then as long as he had the potential to be mocha at the end, then the chazaka stands. Then the chazaka is going to work. However, if it's the case of this question that we're dealing with. If in the beginning, the first 2 years, he was right there. He had the ability to be mocha, and he wasn't. But then came the third year where he actually wanted to be mocha, and then he wasn't able to. The chazakah doesn't stand, and this guy has a valid claim. The ones libasof shows that he isn't responsible, and that's what we care about. Was the ones at the end? If he had potential at the end to do something and he didn't, then that's his fault. But if he was ones libasof, then that shows how he isn't going to be responsible. Very good. That was the shita of the Ran. So, Eze Raya Hevil Shitasa B'Divrei Gemara U'Ma'adinim Lo Nenes Be'Ones Gamor. So, this Raya These last two questions are very much connected. And this is all within the Ketzos. The Ketzos explains how we could have a Raya explains how our Gemara, or at least the Shita of the, I mean, how the Rashbam understood our Gemara is actually going to be a Raya to the Ran, and how that works out. And then through the Ketzos, we're going to see how that answers up our last question, how what happens if it wasn't an Onis Gamor. So he said that this Ran can only work with the first pshat of the Rashbam. And how does that make sense? Because according to the Ran, we follow to the end, right? We care about the onis lebasof. Yet why in our Gemara does he need to say b'shuke barai? All we care about is whether he thought that he had an opportunity to imocha and then he wasn't. Meaning, let's think back to our two options of the Rashbam. The Rashbam had said Meaning, the whole pshat is that do we need an ones, a super ones or not? According to the Rashbam's first pshat, right, where he said that I had a second house, that's a valid excuse. That's an ones gamor. And if you learn like the first pshat in the Rashbam that I didn't know, that's going to be an ones gamor. Just similar to the Chiddush Ran. When you have a strong onis, an onis gamor, then that's going to work to knock out the chazakah. However, the second shot that, I was just so busy, that's an onis kal. That's a very weak taina. And if it's an onis kal is not able to knock out the chazakah of the machzik. So therefore, you would need to learn Shuki Barai that we're talking about the situation of what's it called? Of the first pshat of the Rashbam where it was an onis gamor. And that would be a proof to the Ran how it has to be an onis levasof, which is a strong onis. But a weak onis is not going to carry the day. Okay, very good. Shkarech, everyone.